Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Believe Knicks podcast. I'm Matthew Miranda, as always, joined by Stacey Patton. It's a good time in the Knicks universe. It's kind of an unprecedented time probably for a lot of you in that the Knicks have a couple of games left that do not mean anything for ping pong balls for them or the standings. It's just a couple of, I miss this feeling. I miss those late 90s, like they're playing Charlotte. I don't need to care about that game. So, and the Knicks look good relaxed. They've won five in a row, second longest streak in the league right now. They have two games left. Friday night, they will play the Pelicans in Louisiana, and then they will finish the regular season Sunday against Indiana, expected to begin the playoffs, I believe, the following Saturday against the Cavaliers. But before we get into all the good stuff, let's get into the capitalism. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. College basketball is over, but this is still the ad. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games right through the Final Four and the championship game. I suppose at this point, if you want to bet on whether or not, if you want to bet on anything in college basketball, you'd probably be betting on whether or not LSU will actually attend the White House or not. There's not much left. But whatever's left, I'm sure BetOnline has you covered. They are your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus, betonline.ag, where the game starts. And we have a special guest today. We're very excited to have this individual. I, myself, for a number of reasons, I'm pumped, not the least being I'm very stupid with people's avatars, and I take them seriously. For example, at the Strickland, I don't know who the fuck anybody is in our Slack because everybody has a fake name, and I don't care to figure it out. So literally these conversations go on, and I have no idea who they are. Bob Saeta might be a character from a movie. I wouldn't know it. So for a long time, I thought this person was named Bob Saeta, but this person, who I will now properly name, you have read their work at The Daily Beast, Deadspin, HuffPost, Politico, ESPN, New Republic, Vice, and The New York Times. The rare writer, just as gifted, riffing on Tim Hardaway Jr. as Tim Pool. Welcome to the program, Robert Silverman. Robert, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. That was the best intro I've ever gotten. I want to bottle that and drink it with breakfast. That was awesome. Thanks.
We have no money to invest in anything else, so we pour it all into our intros.
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Tim Pool was a bar. I can't lie.
That was great. That was awesome.
Well, it's all, you know, there's about an hour left, so it's all downhill from here.
Excellent.
Robert Silverman, the big story, I mean, there's so many stories right now in Knick Nation. There's the matchup with Cleveland. There are possible late season awards, but I'm struck today by a pattern that I have seen at least twice. I don't know if I can go as far as three times, although there is, I think, a connection to a third player, but I've been very struck covering the last couple of Knick games that since Julius Randle had to sit with his ankle injury, the Knicks obviously they've plugged in Obi Toppin, they're playing a different style. And they're also playing a different style because it's the end of the season. The starters are not needing to play 40 minutes. But it's been beautiful to watch. The ball is flinging around the floor. It's picking up energy. Different people are cutting, moving. It's beautiful to watch. So naturally, today, some of the Knicks have come out of the corners to say, ah, you know what? Trade Randle. We don't need Randle. Look at how much better we're playing without Randle. Clearly, the problem was Randle. I have my own thoughts on this matter. I am reminded of a certain turn-of-the-century similar scandal. Maybe you can allude to that as well and tell us, where do you fall right now? Are you enjoying this? Is it fool's gold? Is this the way?
That's a tough one. Of course, we are all talking about the Ewing theory, the great philosophical theorem created by Bill Simmons. I think it was, I think he wrote about it in the Book of Basketball. It was a few years. It was right around
the 99 finals, right?
He wrote about it. And I think his friend, I don't know, Bug or E-Bug or Steve-O or Cousin
House or somebody.
Cousin House or Cousin Bug came up with this theory. It wasn't his himself. That the Knicks offense throughout Patrick Ewing's career here, it got stagnant with Ewing. They would throw the ball to Ewing in the post, and there wouldn't be a ton of off-ball movement, or let alone cuts. And Ewing was famously not great at kicking the ball to the perimeter or anywhere really out of double teams. There's in Jack McCallum's book actually about the Dream Team. He talks about how Michael Jordan during one late night, I think they were staying up like he and a bunch of other guys were staying up late playing cards or pool or something like that. And he, like, Bird and Ewing were known to hang out together and they weren't playing pool. And he just started tearing into Ewing and saying he would never win a championship until he learned how to properly kick the ball out of double teams. And this was in 1992. Wow. Yeah. It was good natured ribbing. They were busting each other's chops, but Jordan identified that as early as the summer of 92. And if you were watching Knicks games, then you could identify it either. He was not a particularly talented passer, nor did he seem inclined to, especially, when he was such a gifted low post scorer and shooter. There's good reason. There's an argument to be that, he probably should just turn away from that double and shoot that fadeaway from 18 feet in the corner. But in 99, Ewing was already, he was now, a couple of years removed from the Andrew Lang injury, which cost him all the 97-98 season. And he really never, his shooting dramatically declined and his mobility and his ability to move on the court had been in a steady decline, if we're being honest, since about 1990. Yeah. But by 99, he was just, he was pretty immobile. And so, without Ewing and whether it was playing Chris Dudley more or going with even, Kurt Thomas as a small ball center or Marcus Camby at center, they ran. The Knicks were a fast break team with Spree and Allen Houston and Chris Childs and Charlie Ward. And they were considerably better without Ewing at that point. I get the impetus for fans to have the exact same reaction over the last couple of games with Randle out. The Cleveland game would probably be the best proof of concept that this is actually real, because they, even without Jared Allen in the game, they were facing an excellent defense and they lit them up. I might also say that if Isaac Okoro was around, he might have given Brunson a little bit more trouble than he had. So that, I think, was also a big factor. But still, they're doing some, like, Pete Carroll Princeton backdoor cuts off Hartenstein. And to me, it's delightful. I love watching that. I think it's fool's gold, though. I really think, I do not think you can, Julius Randle, his ability to draw double teams, and his ability to, you know, pick out, to pass out of those double teams as well. Julius's processing speed as an offensive hub, it comes and goes. But when he's on, he can absolutely play with a system predicated on more ball movement and more cutting and more, you know, and better spacing and less static isolation. I don't think you want to give up those ISO shots for Julius. I think those are quality shots a lot of the time, especially the ones he's taking this year as opposed to 2 years ago when he was hitting impossible Dirk floaters and things like that. It was just not sustainable. But the ISO shots he's getting now, it, like, having more minutes for Josh Hart as a power forward is not an improvement over what they've gotten, Randle. But I understand the impetus. I want Julius to be watching this and seeing that, you know, he can still get a lot of points and a lot of buckets if he cuts all of those moments where he pounds the ball into the ground out of his diet. I get it. On the other hand, maybe it's as simple as, you know what? When the second team comes in during a playoff series, you just go and you blitz opponents and you run them off the court. Just because it's not going to be 48 minutes of that once the playoff starts, assuming Julius Randle is healthy, which is definitely not a given. It can, like, all of these things that they're showing, and the Indiana game, there was a lot of fun stuff, but it was a glorified scrimmage pretty much. So I wouldn't take too much from that. But, like, all the things that the second unit has been doing for the last 2 months, those are transferable to playoff basketball. You can absolutely keep doing all that. And that's really, really fun. So yes, I get it. I wouldn't necessarily be looking to trade Julius Randle just yet, though. I don't think that's the right conclusion to take from all this.
I just love that the reality of being a Knicks fan now, as opposed to 25 years ago, is that 25 years ago, maybe there's a conflict between a sentimentality towards Ewing. Like you were saying in the late 90s, like, Ewing was immobile. After the Lang injury, he would never had the same touch. And by that point, they had finally put other players around him, particularly in Houston and Sprewell, that he didn't need to handle that whole load. And now here, before the season, before the playoffs have even begun, we're looking at our all NBA forward and being like, I guess we don't need to trade him.
I guess we don't want him. I have been wrong about Julius Randle on every step of his Knicks journey.
Everybody has. You have, by definition, anyone who has ever said anything about Julius Randle has been wrong at least twice.
When they signed him after Durant and Irving decided to take their talents to Atlantic Avenue,
right?
I was very excited about that. I thought, oh, cool. You know, look, he's a downhill power forward. He's excellent in transition. He really is a bully to the lane. I liked the little glimpses of creativity that he was showing even in New Orleans that year. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay, that's a good signing. I like Julius Randle. Great. And he was god-awful that year. And I was begging them. Once they drafted Obi Toppin that summer, I was begging them. I was like, trade him for pennies on the dollar. Give him away. Get his contract off the team.
Mike Breen had called him out during games, which is when you know you have transgressed.
Oh boy. There were in that 2019-20 season, there were, for fans who remember, there is one infamous Zach Randolph possession from, I believe, from the 2007-2008 Knicks, where he gets the ball in the post, has it knocked out of his hand, sort of fumbles with it, putzes around outside the three-point line, and then throws up just a colossal air ball. That's what you saw from Julius a lot. He would do these, like, he would just throw himself into four guys in the middle of the lane that year and turn the ball over like clockwork. He was awful. I wanted them to give him away that summer. I was like, okay, look, Obi Toppin, he's a plug-and-play starter. He's the most NBA-ready pick in the draft, I thought wrongly. Get Julius out of here so you can free up time for this guy who you just drafted. And I just want to say that I really did want Halliburton in that draft. I was right about that. I wanted Halliburton. Halliburton or Devin Vassell, those were the guys I wanted them to take that year. But anyway, goes out in 2021 and is a monster. And then they signed him to what seemed like a perfectly reasonable extension. I was like, great, great move. Julius is going to be a building block for this team moving forward. Awful, got awful in 2021. The vibes could not have been less immaculate. And then once again, I thought myself, okay, get rid of him. I don't care. Just do him in a salary cap deal. Take him for I said, what if Dallas wants him to go back to his hometown? Trade him for Davis Bertans or something like that.
Or Luka Doncic.
So now that I'm thrilled with Julius again, I'm sure he's going to just absolutely, crap the bed, because that's just the way it goes.
I think a big thing with Julius is, I do think it matters when he's not the hub of an offense. I think it helped him, honestly, in 2020. I haven't looked at the before after stats. He was better. He had improved before they got Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. But they got Derrick Rose, and he was doing, I don't know how he was putting up efficient numbers with Elfrid Payton on the floor next to him.
The degree work there of difficulty for those mid-range jumpers that he was taking that season.
Because they were playing 4-on-5. But with Rose is different. And then last year, if I was to ask you a pop quiz, and I think you would probably know the answer to the question, there was one player on there was one player on the entire team who Randall had a positive net rating next to. Who was that?
Well, I'm going to say it's Emmanuel Quickley.
It's Emmanuel Quickley. He is like the good luck chuck of this team.
Everybody minus God.
Everyone has a positive plus minus. But with Randall specifically, it was related to the fact that he needs someone. I don't want to say to get him his spots, because I think they're like, only Elfrid Payton could give Randall the ball 18 feet from the hoop on the base. I think that was bullshit. But what I do think is that when the defense does not know that it's going to be a Randall post-up and everyone's going to stand around, that's what Quickley gives you. That's what Brunson has given you too, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I think.
I mean, Randall has said as much. He said outright the difference in his game between this year and that year is that he isn't responsible for getting the offense into position and then also finding a shot. It's that Jalen Brunson is here and is getting him the ball where he wants it. Like, he's the long threes that he's taken. I think most of them are still catch and shoot threes. He's not doing like as many step back threes as he did in 2020-21. Where he gets the ball on the move. And that's,
it's definitely much quicker decision making, where it wasn't like whatever your thoughts on Melo are, Melo was better at this style of game, but he did the Carmelo Anthony thing. He'd pump fake and then take two dribbles, and then he would take a long two, or it would be a three where it's like, well, guess what? Now you no longer have the element of, I don't want to say surprise, but like a closeout. So, like, and Melo could get away with that because he was a much more talented shot maker. Randall isn't that.
Because Melo was the best bucket getter in the league in like 2012 to 2014.
What Randall is good at is that if you get down on them, they know that they're done for. So if you leverage that threat, you're really good. I do want to get back to what Matt was saying. While we're looking at some historical parallels, right, passing out of double teams, I do want to mention a team for which there was an HBO series recently, which had arguably the greatest low post player of all time, certainly in that conversation, and the greatest point guard of all time steps up there, but I'm going to keep with this guy for the sake of the conversation.
And they did one about the Sixers?
Embiid
and Harden?
I'm talking about Harden and Embiid. Wow. Matt, you're going to get some ads on that
one. Wow.
The point is, there was a coach firing involved, but, the Lakers were able to kind of get Kareem to adapt to a high tempo style.
Yeah.
Is that the best way forward for the Knicks? Because one, I do agree. And I think Bob, you mentioned that, if Okoro comes back, You know, that could change things on defense. I 100% agree. I also think that makes it even more imperative to get down the floor in transition because you have more of a chance of getting a mismatch. So the point is, like, there, like, Brunson with a mismatch is gold. Quickly with a mismatch is pretty damn good. RJ with a mismatch is pretty damn good. Like, if you get RJ and Garland, we'll take that too, by the way.
Yeah. Get that mouse in the house.
So we need to, but, like, and Randall is capable of it. Like, he had 2 months last year.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. That, like, if, like, they have had a lot of offensive success this year attacking in transition or secondary transition, getting, you know, people to their spots before the defense is set, exploiting cross matches in transition, and the instinct to, like, push the tempo. Tibbs talked about that in the preseason also. There was a photo taken from Tarrytown where there was, like, Knicks offensive principles, and that was, like, up on the wall. And they were very silly. They were, like, offensive principles. Make sure you run a good offense. And it was kind of – we.
Is that wrong?
I wish I had that in front of me.
Or more points than the other team.
there are a couple of completing factors. The two reasons the Knicks, I think, I think they're top four after that Indiana game, that they're the fourth best offense in basketball. They've gotten excellent isolation scoring, mainly from Brunson, but also from Randall and to a lesser degree Barrett. But, like, it's that they don't turn the ball over and they get offensive rebounds. And I don't know if pushing the tempo a lot mitigates some of the things that they've had success with. Now, if you want to say in the playoffs, you're going to be facing better defenses and the turnovers are going to come anyway, and you're going to be facing teams that are better rebounders. And so you're not going to have Mitch getting them, you know, like 5 to 10 extra shots per game. And so you need to take advantage of these other, you need to find other ways to get easy buckets. I'm there with you. But the foundation of this offense has really been built upon not turning the ball over, playing at a very slow, minimizing the total number of possessions in a game and not turning it over. So they tend to have a possession advantage night over night, which can compensate for the lack of, like, really strong outside shooting and the amount of space, the spacing that would be ideal. Like, a team with a you cannot leave him alone shooter in place of RJ Barrett, like the spacing, or even like a center that can spread the floor so that you can play five out, I think would open up so much up for both Brunson and Randall, but they don't have that. The reasons they're so good is because they are excellent in a couple of ways. And that's the formula that they've built. So yes, on the one hand, that's a kind of long way to say, yes, I agree with you, but I think it's something that you want to attack in doses. And I think that's why you keep going with the second team. Again, to go back to history, like, you know, like the Hubie Brown teams that they used, like, you know, they ran with a 10-man unit, and that 10-man unit was pressing and trapping.
I think the Hubie Brown 10-man unit is applicable. I think one of the more, you know, modern examples.
Guys are trapped all the time.
Yeah, so you have those trapping lineups. Obviously, Golden State had the death lineup, which they haven't really wanted to use for more than 10, 15 minutes a game, and really bad in the postseason. So my contention has been this, right? Like, the biggest kind of – think of it like Nas, right? Like, sorry, I grew up – I was the Fast and Furious generation as a 12-year-old. But think of it like you're not upgrading your team's engine much, but you're doing these things where for a short period of time, it can change the tide, right? So what I've been contending is that
it's Vin Diesel pushing the nitrous oxide button. I don't know. I didn't watch these movies. I'm out of my depth.
I don't have a basketball team. I have family. The point I'm making is instead of making the car better, you're like adding temporary boosts, right?
Right, and so Ludacris is coaching the Knicks, is what we're saying, and he's going to.
I think he's a Hawks fan. That might
first Tom Thibodeau Ludacris comparison there.
He's a rapper. That would make a lot of sense.
I think, are the Hawks the new Miami? As a '90s person, grew up on the '90s. I'm a very vehement note. That's like an interesting, but like the point is what I've often thought about, and it's because people have brought up the Donovan Mitchell thing. Like, should the Knicks push in for a star? And, like, is all of this meaningless? Mm-hmm. I mean, Stephen A is on this end that, like, the entire season is meaningless unless they get a playoff series win, which for all the reasons you could think that, Donovan Mitchell should be the last one. But the point I'm making is that, you know, I've wondered, Josh Hart was a, if you want to say transformational, it was a very, it was a big catalyst, right?
No, you could say transformational. He has absolutely changed the quality.
So can they make more moves than that? And one move I would, you know,
can they build the whole plane out of Josh Hart? Is what you're asking.
That's what I'm asking. Or like at least if your engine is Jalen Brunson and Randle, which might be, you know, not like the best engine, but like it can get you there. But if you have like if you just optimize the aerodynamics with Josh Hart, and the next piece that could be a Josh Hart type piece to me, and is I think a four that could block shots, and also spread the floor, because then if you have someone who can protect the rim and spread the floor, that allows you to play Randle and a small ball lineup. If you can play those two together,
so you want Kristaps Porzingis.
I've said that before.
I have said that. Something when the roles were flipped.
I think Zach Lowe said this. I know other people said this. They go, oh, that's ironically Knicks-y because Julius Randle is the perfect floor, like power forward to play next to Kristaps at center. Yes. That pairing makes an absolute ton of sense.
I do think KP just got extended, so that might be tough. This guy, for example,
No. Yeah. No,
he's facing it. Washington might extend him this offseason.
Washington might extend him. He has not been extended yet.
No. I think that's the kind of target I would go after. I mean, I don't know would I trade RJ for him. I'm not completely out on RJ yet, but you know, if some combination of Fournier, Rose, and like one or two picks, imagine giving up a top 10 protected and a first for KP. It would be full circle.
I'm way deep in my voice on Kristaps Porzingis.
Your trepidation in your voice.
But if not Porzingis, then someone like Jaren Jackson Jr. would be pretty optimal, right? There's a guy named Terrell Hendricks in this draft who's 6'9".
I have been logging on to NBADraft.net. I know exactly who that is. I'm very excited about them maybe getting him at 11 if a certain draft pick conveys. I'm already on that.
So let me ask you, is that the kind of guy who can protect the rim and space the floor well enough for Randle to not have to worry about those things and do that for 10 minutes a game? Do you think that could put the Knicks over the edge, or, you know, is that like a Josh Hart level move?
I think that's the kind of fit they should be thinking about. I think we're too early to be thinking about the ways to upgrade this team until this playoff series has happened. But regards to like your question about whether or not they should lean into a more up-tempo style in this upcoming series, I think it is a little bit late in the year to ask Julius Randle to significantly change what has worked, especially considering how he is can we call him a volatile personality? Can we call him tempestuous? Let's say that.
Expressionistic.
He can get mad offline a lot. I even so, like, you know, technical fouls or whatever and whatnot, you know, getting mad at quickly and all
that.
But
it clearly affects his game. That's the problem.
It does. I feel like he does. I feel like he needs to get a little pissed off before he starts having a really good game. He's one of those guys, like Jordan.
Kyle Kuzma agrees with you, by the way, about that.
Yeah. He needs to have something to be mad at in the game, and that sets him off. And he does that like it can be something as simple as they aren't coming up to contest the first three-pointer that I shoot in the game, and therefore they're showing me disrespect, and so now I'm just going to keep hitting them. Fred Katz of The Athletic had a wonderful stat like that before he went down, I think starting from December 4th, that the magical December 4th when they went to the 9-man rotation, that 70% of Julius Randle's first shots attempted were a three in a basketball game.
Wow.
His first shot was a three 70% of the time.
Wow.
Which, cool. He's been, his volume of three-point shooting has been incredibly necessary to the success of this one. In any case, it goes a long way to say, like, I think that given the structure that they built and the way this team has functioned, it's a little bit, making a dramatic change in terms of tempo is, I think, asking a lot of this squad. A squad that isn't playoff tested, clearly. That hasn't, you know, that only started to find how all the pieces fit together once the Josh Hart trade came together. I think moving forward, yeah, let's all these options should be thrown into the lab and they should see what and is, you know, in terms of like whether you're not what the guy is that you might try to add to this roster, whether you're going to consolidate a couple of the young players and try to get one more star. I think you're on the great thing is you can honestly say right now that the Knicks are one top 15 guy away from being a legitimate title contender. You get the right star to pair with Brunson, they are a title contender. Whether that includes Julius Randle or not is a question. I think it absolutely in many of those scenarios it does. It depends on the guy that they go after. In my heart of hearts, I'm hoping that the Sixers flame out completely and somehow maybe Joel Embiid decides that he doesn't want to play in Philadelphia anymore. But that would be the floor spacing, rim protecting guy that I would like to get. There is no indication that I think he's a little better. Yeah. I think he's a little bit better. The other guy, if we're just like reading our Christmas wish list, the other guy that I would want them to get is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. In place of RJ.
Would you take if the trade is RJ and Toppin and a protected first for Jimmy Butler, does Miami say yes?
I think Miami says yes.
It's a rough contract. That's the thing.
It's only what but is it? Two more years?
If it gets you a ring,
it's 40 million. It's 40 million for like the Knicks. It's 40.
All the Knicks' other good players are not on max deals. That's their advantage. You're not adding a max.
Although they did remove the max deal principle from the new CBA, so that's less of a.
Doesn't they have IQ's bird rights? Can't they go over the cap to sign IQ if they want to?
It doesn't matter once the new CBA is. Yeah, they still can.
They're not going to give them a max. That's not the issue. It's the point that they're going to be different.
No, if we're talking predictions, though, IQ's contract is going to be in the neighborhood of what Jordan Poole got, and he deserves it. It's going to be like something like 140. It's going to be closer to 140 than people are going to realize. I think it's going to be that high.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.